Chapter 79. Pushing past the crush of tourists on the Rialto Bridge, Sienna Brooks began running again, sprinting west along the canal front walkway of the Fondamenta Vincastello. They've got Robert. She could still see his desperate eyes gazing up at her as the soldiers dragged him back down the light well into the crypt. She had little doubt that his captors would quickly persuade him, one way or another, to reveal everything he had figured out. We're in the wrong country. Far more tragic, though, was her knowledge that his captors would waste no time revealing to Langdon the true nature of the situation.
I'm so sorry, Robert, for everything. Please know I had no choice.
Strangely, Sienna missed him already. Here amid the masses of Venice, she felt a familiar loneliness settling in. The feeling was nothing new. Since childhood, Sienna Brooks had felt alone. Growing up with an exceptional intellect, Sienna had spent her youth feeling like a stranger in a strange land, an alien trapped on a lonely world. She tried to make friends, but her peers immersed themselves in frivolities that held no interest to her. She tried to respect her elders, but most adults seemed like nothing more than aging children, lacking even the most basic understanding of the world around them, and most troubling, lacking any curiosity or concern about it.
I felt I was a part of nothing.
And so Sienna Brooks learned how to be a ghost, invisible. She learned how to be a chameleon, a performer, playing just another face in the crowd. Her childhood passion for stage acting, she had no doubt, stemmed from what would become her lifelong dream of becoming someone else.
Someone normal.
Her performance in Shakespeare's A Midsummer Night's Dream helped her feel a part of something, and the adult actors were supportive without being condescending. Her joy, however, was short-lived, evaporating the moment she left the stage on opening night and faced throngs of wide-eyed media people while her co-stars quietly skulked out the back door unnoticed.
Now they hate me, too.
By the age of 7, Sienna had read enough to diagnose herself with deep depression. When she told her parents, they seemed dumbfounded, as they usually were by the strangeness of their own daughter. Nonetheless, they sent her to a psychiatrist. The doctor asked her a lot of questions, which Sienna had already asked herself, and then he prescribed a combination of amitriptyline and chlorodiazepoxide. Furious, Sienna jumped off his couch.
Amitriptyline? She challenged. I want to be happier, not a zombie.
The psychiatrist, to his great credit, remained very calm in the face of her outburst and offered a second suggestion. Sienna, if you prefer not to take pharmaceuticals, we can try a more holistic approach. He paused. It sounds as if you are trapped in a cycle of thinking about yourself and how you don't belong in the world.
That's true, Sienna replied. I try to stop, but I can't.
He smiled calmly. Of course you can't stop. It is physically impossible for the human mind to think of nothing. The soul craves emotion, and it will continue to seek fuel for that emotion, good or bad. Your problem is that you're giving it the wrong fuel. Sienna had never heard anyone talk about the mind in such mechanical terms, and she was instantly intrigued.
How do I give it a different fuel?
You need to shift your intellectual focus, he said. Currently, you think mainly about yourself. You wonder why you don't fit, and what is wrong with you.
That's true, Sienna said again. But I'm trying to solve the problem. I'm trying to fit in. I can't solve the problem if I don't think about it.
He chuckled. I believe that thinking about the problem is your problem. The doctor suggested that she try to shift her focus away from herself and her own problems, turning her attention instead to the world around her and its problems. That's when everything changed. She began pouring all of her energy not into feeling sorry for herself, but into feeling sorry for other people. She began a philanthropic initiative, ladled soup at homeless shelters and read books to the blind. Incredibly, none of the people Sienna helped even seemed to notice that she was different. They were just grateful that somebody cared.